Friends, we would like to welcome you tonight. We thank you for coming along to the gospel meeting, and we do pray that you will be blessed for coming. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel gladdens our hearts. And if you are not saved, we pray tonight that you will be blessed with that greatest of all blessings, the blessings of the blessing of God's salvation. Turn with me tonight to John's Gospel in chapter 7. We're going to commence reading at verse number 37. And we're going to read through to verse number 46. John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You have a full explanation of that over in chapter 14 as the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.'" I understand the better reading is of verse number 46, "Never man spake like this." The Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. I want to take, if you like, as my text tonight, the closing words that we read together. "Never man spake like this." The soldiers who went to arrest the Lord Jesus that particular day, they were, in fact, themselves arrested. They had listened to his word, and they found the power of the word of Christ irresistible. They themselves, I would believe, were convicted, because as they came back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, you remember they said to them, "Never man spake like this." Now you and I have a little bit more insight than those officers had who went to arrest the Lord Jesus, because you and I know that the very one that these men listened to was none other than God manifest in flesh. They were listening in reality to the words of God, and my dear friend, no wonder they came back convicted, that they were listening to no ordinary person. They said, "Never man spake like this." And my dear friend tonight, I trust that you have come prepared to listen to the voice of God. The Holy Spirit of God would wing the words of Scripture to your heart tonight, and the joy in preaching the gospel is to realize that you, in this meeting tonight, a poor sinner, you could go out of the door, down the steps, onto the street, rejoicing in sins forgiven. Peace with God. The assurance that you have eternal life, that you'll never be in hell. Oh, my dear friend, young friend tonight, this is your opportunity to make the greatest decision in your life, to accept Christ as your very own Savior. Life without Christ is an empty thing. I can remember, as I'll tell you tomorrow night, a young fellow of 17. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And my dear friend, I really only began to live then, because there's no joy, no peace, no satisfaction without the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think just very quickly with me before I come to some of the words that this blessed man spake. I want you to think that when God speaks through the Holy Spirit of God, first of all, it is grace manifested. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God does speak? And my dear friend, in these meetings, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has been speaking. And I would suggest there are some of you, and you have been convicted of your sin. Now, dear friend, that is the first step towards God's salvation. If you like, the first rung of the ladder to heaven is a realization that I'm a sinner in the sight of God. And then, my dear friend, that God-given desire to know Christ as your Savior. When that happens in an individual's life, I can promise you that the devil is going to use everything, every tool in his power. He's going to use it to try and keep you from trusting Christ. But young lady tonight, do you realize the Holy Spirit of God having dealt with you? If you refuse the Holy Spirit and go through life like that, you will be damned for God's eternity. I say that kindly. My dear friend, I have the book of God as my authority for a statement like that. It is grace manifested when God speaks. But I want you to think more. Not only is it grace manifested, but it is attention demanded. You see, if it were just my brother or I speaking, you forget it. But friend, when God speaks, that demands attention. Because, my dear friend, you and I cannot play fast and loose with God. And I would say again, coming back to the same subject, if God the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, oh, my dear friend, let nothing on earth hold you back from getting Christ as your Savior. It's attention demanded. And then it is responsibility increased. You have a greater responsibility now. Maybe you were reared in the gospel. Maybe before you were born, you were prayed for. As a little toddler, you learned the scriptures. You came to the Sunday school. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to you again and again. And now in these meetings, again you've heard the voice of God. Oh, dear friend, how responsible you are. You see, if perchance tonight, I would say, God forbid, but if perchance you slipped out into eternity on the way home this evening, could you tell God you had never heard the gospel? Could you say the Holy Spirit of God never spoke? drove with me? Could you? My dear friend, what a responsible person you are. So then, in the light of that, I want you to think with me very quickly of a number of statements from the lips of that one who never spake as man spake. Never man spake like this. And I want you to listen to his words. And I want you to come, and I'm going to stay within the scope of John's gospel. I want you first of all to come with me to John chapter 3 and verse 7. Listen to the words of him who spake as never man spake. Listen to them. He said, ye must be born again. Now, it's a remarkable thing, isn't it? It wasn't to the woman in John chapter 4 that the Lord Jesus spoke these words. But it was to that religious person in John chapter 3. That man who, by virtue of his position, I understand, had to know the first 5 books of the Bible off by heart. And it was to this religious, apparently upright man that the Lord Jesus would point the finger at and said, Nicodemus, don't be surprised when I tell you that ye must be born again. Oh, my dear friend, we rejoice in the simplicity of God's great plan of salvation. And may the Lord deliver us from ever making it complicated. Young friend tonight, you have a great need, and your greatest need is that you be born again. The hymn writer has taken up that, and he says, you must be born again or never enter heaven. It's only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed and forgiven. Could I ask you tonight, have you been born again? My dear friend, can you look back to a happy day or a happy night? I'm not suggesting you can remember the date, maybe not even the year, but you will remember the experience. It was about 11 o'clock on a Monday morning when I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I could have taken you to the very spot. I couldn't now, because that place has been blown sky high. But friend, I could have taken you to the very spot where I was born again. Could you? You see, my dear friend, being born again is an absolute necessity. Our natural birth fitted us to live on this earth. But if ever I'm going to be fitted to live in the glory above, I must have a new birth. I must have a spiritual birth. I must be born from above. And my dear friend, thank God, that is gloriously possible. The Lord Jesus left heaven and came down to earth, going through this life in absolute perfection. Then, dear friend, we come to Calvary. And that brings me to my next scripture, from John 19 and verse 32. I want you to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. 3 words, but in the Greek, but one word. It's the word finish. And friend, I want you to think, as I said just a moment ago, we'll pick up that thread. The Lord Jesus lived down here a life of absolute perfection. No sin in him. He was pure, intrinsically pure. And my dear friend,
He went to Calvary. And there on that cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus died. He was the first one ever to die of his own voluntary will. He could say, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And dear young lady, young man tonight, let me tell you with joy that on that cross at Calvary, in his dying, the Lord Jesus bore your sin and mine in his own body on the tree. In the hours of darkness, the accumulated sin of the world was laid in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that awful darkness, in those 3 hours, you, his own sin, bear our sin. Faith reaches out tonight and says, bear my sin. In his own body on the tree. And having satisfied God to the very last iota of the awful price that God demanded, knowing that everything now was accomplished, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh my dear friend, he was not a weakling on that cross. He was master of the situation to the very end. His mind was crystal clear. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, he said, I thirst. And then he bowed his head upon his breast. He dismissed his spirit. And we read the lovely words in Romans chapter 3. Christ died. Oh, what a glorious truth is this. Jesus died. But young friend this evening, there is salvation in the realization that he died for me. He died for you. Would you like to be saved tonight? Is it a first in your life? Is it first priority, young lady, young man? Is it first priority that you get right with God? If it is, let me tell you with joy. But, and I'm quoting from Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. Yonder it comes. The price of my peace, that price demanded by a holy God, the price of my peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on Christ. Pardon me. You see, my dear friend, we preach to you tonight not a religion, not a dogma. We preach to you a glorious God. The one who said, finish the work of redemption. Your salvation was completed on Calvary's cross. But I want to I have to leave out so much of this little message. And I want to come to John chapter 5 and verse 24. And again, I want you to think of the words of that blessed man, "Never man spake like this. Oh, my dear friend, hang on to the word." If I tonight could draw back the curtain of eternity, if I could be permitted, but there's no message of the gospel reaching there. If I could be permitted to preach tonight to the dead, I wouldn't have to preach two messages. They would grasp God's salvation. Maybe some of you have closed that maybe died without Christ. And tonight there's death. God has spared you. They would love to be saved, but they've missed it forever. And tonight, friend, salvation, full and free, is offered to you. Oh, may you value your precious soul. Grasp God's salvation. Listen to the words. The words of the Lord Jesus. "Never man spake like this." What did he say? John chapter 5 and verse 24, he said, "But verily, verily," it means truly, truly. It means it must be so. It must be so. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me." I remember many years ago, in my early days in preaching the gospel in Larne in Northern Ireland, I was having gospel meetings in an old disused school just outside Larne with another brother. He was a young fellow of 14 coming to those meetings. And one night going out of the meeting, he said, "Jack, I want to talk to you." I said, "Jim, what have you to tell me?" And all he said to me, and you know, I didn't maybe just have as much experience as I have now. All he said to me, he said, "Jack, I believe God." And that's all we got out of him. But you know, that boy was sound and sane. Listen, my dear friend, to the lovely words of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," God says.
Young lady, tonight, do you believe God? Young man, tonight, would you simply believe God? Stop trying to believe to be saved. You believed all that God wants you to believe. If you believe that you're a poor sinner and that Christ died for sinners and died for you, that's it. But like young Jim Shannon so long ago,
believe God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," God says, "shall not perish."
Do you believe God? My dear friend, if you believe God tonight, God's word says you will have everlasting life. "Never man spake like this." Tonight he's saying to a young man, to a young lady in this company tonight, "God, you've tried the world and it's left a bitter taste in your heart. You've tried sin and it doesn't satisfy." Right? Sure. And now the Lord Jesus says, "Come to me and I will." The man will give you salvation, he'll give you peace. Young lady, he'll give you a joy that you never thought was possible in this life. Then McCullough sometimes quotes, heaven above to the believers.